Good morning and welcome to our worship service today. We begin with a prayer to our God and Savior. Dear Heavenly Father, open our hearts to sincere worship and our lips to show forth your praise. Guide us through your Holy Spirit to eliminate any sinful weaknesses which might interfere with our worship this morning, so that the total meditation of your people proclaims the excellencies of Jesus, who died that we might live and lives that we may never die. In his name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Our first hymn for this morning is hymn 741. We'll sing verses 1 through 5 and verse 8.
Jesus Christ, my shepherd.
Please rise. I invite you to follow the order of worship that's printed for you in your service bulletin. We begin this morning worship in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We have come into the presence of God, who created us to love and serve Him as His dear children. But we have disobeyed Him, and have deserved only His wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to Him and plead for His mercy. Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy upon me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt. God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven you all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of His Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, He has removed your guilt forever. Through faith in Him, which was created in you by the Holy Spirit, you are His own dear child. May God give us the strength to live according to His will. Amen. Lord, have mercy on us. Christ, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on us.
Glory to God, we give you thanks and praise. Of heavenly joy and peace on earth we sing. We worship you, to you our hearts we raise. Lord God,
Almighty God, grant that we who have celebrated the Lord's resurrection may by your grace confess in our life and conversation that Jesus is God and Savior. We pray this through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. First reading for this morning is taken from Acts chapter 2. We'll read verse 14 and then verses 22 through 32. And these verses come before our sermon text today. The occasion for these words from the Apostle Peter are his sermon on Pentecost, in which he references the resurrection of Jesus as proof that Jesus was who he said he was, the Son of God. And these verses, of course, will then lead up to the thoughts of our sermon text for today. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. For David says concerning him, 'I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken.' Therefore my heart rejoiced, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence. Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of this patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne, he, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Our gospel reading for this morning is from the Gospel of John. We'll read from chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. Sanctify us by your truth, O Lord. Your word is truth. This account from John is the account of Jesus appearing to his disciples on Easter Sunday evening and then his appearance to Thomas later on the next week. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, that would be Easter Sunday, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." So he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. These words are written that we may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Alleluia, alleluia. Alleluia.
Please rise. Let's join now in confessing our faith in the one true triune God with the words of the Apostles' Creed, beginning on the bottom of page 4 in your bulletin. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. We'll continue with our next hymn, hymn 470. We'll sing verse 1 and then verses 4 through 9. Rise. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, dear fellow redeemed. The text for our meditation and application to our daily walk of faith is taken again from Acts chapter 2. We'll read the first half of verse 14 again, and then we'll read verses 36 through 47. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission, that is, the forgiveness of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children, and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, Be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were gathered together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all as any had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. What do you think you would have done if you had been one of the people who saw Jesus after his resurrection? Would you have reacted like some of the people we hear recorded for us in the Gospels or in the New Testament? Recorded for us the reaction of some of the people who had seen Jesus after he had risen from the dead? Maybe you would have reacted like Mary Magdalene, who immediately ran to tell Jesus' disciples that he had risen, just like Jesus told her to do. Maybe you would have been like the other women who when they came to Jesus' tomb and were met by Jesus, the Gospel of Matthew tells us, they held him by the feet and worshipped him. Maybe you'd fall down at Jesus' feet and worship him as well. Maybe you would have been like the two disciples who were walking with Jesus on the road to Emmaus, who after realizing that they had seen and talked with and even ate with the risen Savior, said, Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? And then immediately ran back to Jerusalem, 7 miles away, at night, to tell the rest of the disciples that they had seen Jesus. Or maybe you would have been like the disciples who were locked in that room on Easter Sunday night, who even after Jesus appeared and showed them his hands, showed them his side, the text in Luke says, they still did not believe for joy and marveled. Do you think you'd react like any of those disciples did when they saw the risen Savior? Maybe you wouldn't have reacted like any one of them. Maybe you wouldn't have been able to say anything at all if you saw Jesus risen from the dead. Maybe your eyes would just be wide open and your mouth agape. Maybe you would have cried tears of joy to see Jesus alive again. Maybe, but who really knows? The fact is, we were not there on Resurrection Day to see Jesus alive again with our own two eyes. And we will never know, at least not in this life, what that feeling is like or how we would react to seeing the risen Savior. But we do know for certain that Jesus is alive, that he is risen. God himself has given us some sure eyewitness testimony from men whom he inspired himself to write these accounts for us. People who were there and saw Jesus' resurrection. And the Holy Spirit reminds us that these words, this testimony, is more certain and more sure than even if we saw Jesus with our own two eyes for ourselves. Well, then, when we look for examples of how we should react to Jesus' resurrection, when we look into the scriptures, shouldn't we look for people who are in a similar situation as us? people who relied on the words of God's eyewitnesses, inspired eyewitnesses, people who did not see for their with their own two eyes the risen Christ, but did have to rely on testimony of men like Peter, people who saw Jesus risen from the dead. Well, the crowd that gathered in our text from Acts chapter 2 on that Pentecost would have contained a lot of people who would be in the same situation as us. The group that was gathered there that day was not just made up of people from Jerusalem, but actually was made up of people from all over the known world. So it's highly unlikely that many of these people who were listening to Peter's Spirit-filled sermon would have actually seen the risen and ascended Jesus for themselves. Remember, at this point, Jesus' resurrection would have taken place 50 days before the day of Peter's sermon here on Pentecost. There's a good chance that many of these people had not seen Jesus for themselves then, after his resurrection. Yet we're told in our text that God worked the miracle of conversion in the hearts of many that day through Peter's Pentecost sermon. Luke tells us in our reading from Acts, those who gladly received Peter's word were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. Again, many of these people were just like us. They had not seen the risen Christ, but they believed God's word to them through this eyewitness, this inspired eyewitness, Peter. And these people were saved. However, that is not the only reaction to the resurrection that the Holy Spirit produced in these people, these early New Testament Christians. The most important part had been taken care of. They had been converted by the message preached, and about 3,000 hearers were brought to faith that day. But our text also tells us that the Holy Spirit produced some very incredible fruits of repentance and fruits of faith in the hearts and lives of the entire Christian church in Jerusalem for many days after Pentecost. Let's look again at our text and see what they did. Again, Luke records for us in our text from Acts in verse 42 that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, that word means teaching, in fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. The apostles' doctrine and the apostles' teaching would have been exactly the same thing that Jesus taught. The teachings were the very words of God, just as Jesus had commissioned them and commanded them in that great commission. When he said, teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. These early New Testament Christians then continued steadfastly, faithfully, in those teachings of not just the apostles, but the teachings of Jesus. And they remained in fellowship, sharing with these apostles. This verse also tells us they continued steadfastly in the breaking of bread together. That referred to their fellowship meals together, which were called agape, or love feasts. During those love feasts, they would celebrate together the Lord's Supper. These early New Testament Christians also expressed their unity and their faith with the apostles and their fellow believers in prayers. These things they all did steadfastly, continuously. Our text also tells us that these New Testament Christians expressed their unity of faith and devotion to the apostles' teaching in a way that is unique in all of Scripture. Maybe that particular verse stood out to you when we read it. Verses 44 and 45 tell us this. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. Notice a few things about those verses. This was not commanded. The apostles did not command these people to share everything, to sell their possessions and share amongst themselves. We're not even told that the apostles came up with this idea on their own at all. It may not have been the apostles who came up with this idea. They were also not trying to put into practice some sort of God-mandated economic theory. Some people have actually tried to propose that God is demanding that this is how we should do it as well. No, these early New Testament Christians in Jerusalem shared all things, both spiritually and physically, as an expression of their love. Love for their risen Savior and love for their fellow believer. They were in every sense of the word completely devoted to the fellowship. That word means sharing. And remember again that most of these people probably did not see Jesus risen from the dead themselves. They were trusting steadfastly and solely on the apostles' teaching, the eyewitnesses' account of these inspired writers of God's word and preachers of God's word. So what about us? What about our reactions to the resurrection? It's now been exactly a week since we celebrated the miraculous resurrection of Jesus Christ on Easter Sunday. Sometimes it seems like it's been longer than a week, right? We mentioned that this morning in Bible class. Sometimes it seems like a lot longer ago than that. But it's only been a week. Are we still living in the joy of the resurrection like those early New Testament Christians did months after Christ rose from the dead? Can the people that we have seen and come across in our lives during this past week, can they see that joy in our lives? Can they hear that resurrection joy in our voices? Can they sense the sincerity of our hearts as we prepare for another Sunday of worship? And if not, let's ask ourselves, why not? Aren't we very much in the same position as these early New Testament Christians? Redeemed and forgiven through Christ's perfect, innocent sacrifice on the cross? Haven't we been made sons and daughters through the miracle of baptism? Aren't we also dependent on the work of the Holy Spirit through His inspired eyewitnesses, His apostles? Yes, yes, and yes. We have also been greatly blessed by some of the same fruits of faith that were evident in the lives of the early New Testament Christians. Gifts that we often overlook, forget about, or simply take for granted. Don't we also, by God's grace, also devote ourselves each week, and hopefully even each day, to the apostles' doctrine or the apostles' teachings? The very inspired words of God written down for us in the New Testament. Don't we also base our fellowship on that word, and only that word? Not base it on human reason or some compromised version of God's word, picking and choosing what it is that we will choose to believe or not believe? Don't we also express that fellowship with each other through the breaking of bread at the Lord's Supper and in prayers? And although we don't live in the communal style of the early New Testament Christians in Jerusalem, haven't we also shared our possessions and goods with many who are in need, whether through offerings or giving charitable donations locally or giving to brothers and sisters in our fellowship across the country or overseas? Do we always realize just how amazingly God has blessed us, not only with saving faith, the greatest gift, but also with some of these spirit-driven gifts? The ability to express our faith in ways that are simply not natural. Expressing our faith emotionally, spiritually, physically, and materially. These things that I've mentioned that go against our human nature. They are spirit-led and spirit-created. We would not do those things on our own. The Holy Spirit then has blessed us with some of the same reactions to the resurrection that these early New Testament Christians had. It's kind of hard to believe when you read this section of Acts and say, I don't feel like I have much in common at all with those people. Look how incredibly they shared their faith and expressed their faith. But we do. We have much in common with this incredibly strong, growing fellowship of believers in Jerusalem. Let's ask ourselves also this question. How did they remain spiritually strong? How do they continue to grow in faith and in numbers? Did they use the latest technology available to them? Did they come up with some amazing fads in the church growth movement? No. The last two verses of our text tell us, so they continued daily with one accord. The Greek word there literally means of one mind and one purpose. They continued daily with one mind and one purpose in the temple, In breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. The word there literally means sincerity of heart. So they ate their food with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Isn't it the same method that we use? Isn't it the same method that we can use? Continuing daily with one accord, with one mind, with one purpose, basing our fellowship solely on the very words of Christ, the Word of God? We do. Where then does the problem usually lie for us? Doesn't it often boil down to what all the people in Jerusalem, believers and unbelievers alike, could see very clearly in the lives of these early New Testament Christians? Our text tells us that they had favor with all the people. Was it just because they continued daily with one accord in fellowship with one another, in steadfast faithfulness to the apostles' teaching? No, that's not the only reason the people of Jerusalem were astounded and moved by these people's lives. After all, if that's all there was, they could have done that very easily in their own little corner. They could have done that in their own little church building off to the side where no one else would see or hear their faithful teaching and preaching. Instead, they did it publicly. They did it, as our text says, in the temple. If they hadn't also lived their lives according to the apostles' teaching, the people of Jerusalem probably wouldn't have thought much of their Christian faith either. But instead, the early New Testament Christians both continued daily in one accord in the apostles' teaching, and they did it with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God. And they did it in public. They did it so people could see. Does the gladness of our faith always shine through in our lives? Does the sincerity of our hearts come through in all that we say and do? Are we playing Christian, or are we actually living and being followers of Christ? Does the sincerity, the simplicity of our hearts come through in our worship? Or are we just playing church and playing worship? Or are we truly worshiping and praising a risen and living Savior and God, Jesus Christ? We were reminded last Sunday, we're reminded every Sunday, Jesus lives. Our Savior lives. That's a fact. Be glad. Live joyfully. That same Holy Spirit that worked sincerity in the hearts of those early New Testament Christians can and does work sincerity in our hearts and lives through the very same words of Jesus' very same apostles. Let people see that sincerity in your lives. Let them see it in your eyes when you meet them, in your words when you speak with them, in your whole life that you live in front of them. Our Savior lives. We have His sure eyewitness testimony of His word and the promises that the end of our short lives will also be a time where we will witness Him for ourselves. We will see Him as He is, and then we'll find out just how we will react to the risen Christ. Praise God. Now, obviously, our reaction to the resurrection by the way we live our lives isn't going to bring anyone to faith in Jesus. Only the Word of God can do that. But the way we react to the resurrection, the way we react to God's Word, can certainly tear down many obstacles to their faith. It can give others a living and powerful example of the blessedness of the gospel, of the blessedness of being one of Jesus' followers, a brother and sister of Christ. When they ask us then why we live the way that we live, why we do the things that we do, we can share with them exactly what the apostles taught, the very words of God, and we can do so with gladness, with sincerity of heart, and with the praise of God in our hearts as well. Because it is the truth of the saving gospel of the risen Christ that we are sharing with people whose souls are dying and in need. And we can also be confident as we share that message, that through this powerful saving gospel, the Lord will continue to add to the church daily those who are being saved. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Uphold with your Spirit free.
You may be seated. An offering from our thankful hearts will now be received. Next hymn can be found in your TAN worship supplement. We'll sing hymn 736. Please rise. Are there any prayer requests for this morning? Let's join our hearts together in prayer. O God of all grace, mercy, and peace, by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, you declared him to be your Son and our Savior. By the faithful testimony of the apostles, you have given us the confidence that our faith stands upon a most true and sure record. Grant us the daily power of your Holy Spirit through your word of truth, that our hearts may always rest securely on your sure promises. Preserve and defend us, O Lord, from all attacks upon our souls, so that we may firmly hold on to the profession of our faith. Deliver us from doubt and despair. Save us from false teaching, from useless and empty philosophies, and the supposed wisdom of this world. Secure our hearts with your teaching, the spirit of truth, and the mind of Christ. Move our hearts to daily desire the pure teaching and refreshing comfort of your holy word. Help us always to find Jesus in them with eyes of faith. Though we do not see him yet personally, lead us to love him more and more, with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the goal of our faith, the salvation of our souls. Empower your church, dear Savior, that we may faithfully proclaim your word, spreading the gospel of our risen Savior with courage and boldness in all lands and to all people. Give to each believer here today a sense of both joy and urgency. Joy in the promise of eternal life through the crucified and risen Savior, an urgency to share this saving message with all those who do not yet know him, that they may also be blessed with eternal life. Dear Lord, you know all the desires and needs in each individual heart. Give your loving attention to the prayers that arise to you from each believer. And if in your wisdom you have permitted a cross of trouble or sorrow to come into our lives, give us the confidence that you will not permit us to be tested beyond our ability, but that you will show us the way of escape, that we may be able to bear it. Grant to all your people daily repentance and the full assurance of forgiveness in Christ. Strengthen those who are doubting and those who are weak in faith. Bring back the forgetful and the wayward, and comfort the anxious and distressed. And as we go from this blessed place today, give us your peace. All this we pray in the name of Christ our Lord, who also taught us to pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive now with believing hearts the blessing from our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace.
Amen.
Closing hymn for today is hymn 478. seated. Good morning.
Good morning.
A warm welcome to all of you in the name of our Savior Jesus. On behalf of our congregation, welcome our guests and visitors who are here with us today. I invite you to come and worship our Savior with us again in the near future. A few announcements. First for today, following our worship service, we'll be meeting in the fellowship hall for a congregational meeting to discuss some of the sanctuary lighting. Scott has made some very elegant designs of some of the potential lighting that we'll have in here, so please come and join us and share your opinions on that. This evening, our Southern California worship service will be held in Corona at 6 p.m. Pastor Garath from Phoenix will be taking that service tonight for the folks down there. This week, there is no school at St. Stephen Lutheran School until next Monday, the 16th, so we're on spring break this week. Wednesday, I have catechism class at 7 p.m. They are not on spring break from that. They have to continue to have class with me. Next Sunday, we'll be having Bible class at the usual time of 9 a.m., and then our worship service at 10 a.m. we'll have a communion celebrated next Sunday. Let's see. I think those are all the announcements I have for this morning. In your mailboxes, there is a financial report for the months of February and March, so please pick that up if you have not already done so. The CLC financial report for the month of March is on the back page of your bulletin. Any other announcements for today? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
And